There we go. It's good to see you all this morning. A true blessing. Imagine what it would be like if you never had an opportunity to talk to another Christian ever. Imagine if you were the only Christian in the world. That could be pretty tough. So I'm very thankful for the fellowship that we have here. I'm personally thankful and thankful in behalf of all of you. That is for all of you. I'm grateful that we can be together sharing not only such things as a common job or a common worldly purpose, but something much more, and that is the very purpose of life. That gives us a fellowship that is beyond the mere trivial. We at Glen Acres are striving to, we're striving for the faith that was once for all delivered unto the saints, and we're seeking to abide in love. These are central emphases of the scriptures, and we urge everyone in attendance to follow that same path. You may recall less than 3 weeks ago, I brought you a message about the resurrection of Christ, the meaning of it, and related that resurrection not just to some historical moment or just an historical figure, but to the reality of Jesus Christ, and to the reality of our present moment. The gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, is something that not only was enacted there in the time of Christ, it was also enacted as we became Christians, and it continues to be enacted as we die to self and are raised to walk in newness of life. That moment comes every moment that we forget about ourselves, lay ourselves aside, and just follow Christ. Just live to please Him, to see the smile on His face. That is the moment of resurrection. This morning's message is entitled, Our Weakness and God's Power. There is a profundity that escapes the world, certainly, and the church often. And that is, in being weak, we're strong. That sounds like a contradiction, but really it's not if we only understand. It may be that you're like so many of us, really all of us. When you get up in the morning, you are faced with one reminder of your own weaknesses, failings, and sins. From the time that you get ready for work, to the time that you go to work, to the time that you come home, to the time that you're driving home, you're reminded of your weaknesses. The time you set foot in the door, you're reminded of your weaknesses. If you can escape this, you are not living in reality. Now, our weaknesses and God's power. What is the relationship between the two? You say, well, I know what that is. I know what it is. But do you really? In this morning's message, I hope that you'll be blessed in understanding what God's Word teaches us about our weaknesses. I'm going to give you kind of a quick preview of the scriptures that we're going to be using, and I hope that you'll be blessed by this. Con, would you please do me a favor and turn off those lights right in back of you there? This is so that you'll be able to see the picture more clearly, and just take a moment to relax, forget about your shortcomings and your sins. You can do that. Jesus paid the price. And just focus on the glory of God. Jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. And he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord Almighty." In quietness and trust is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He will also give to you, will give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who lives in you. As we think about these scriptures, I want to this morning on two things. First of all, our weakness, and second of all, God's power. And how our weakness helps us to be aware of God's power and helps others to see God's power. We're going to take a closer look at these scriptures that I've just shared with you, and also many other scriptures. I wish I had time to share about 100 of them, but we don't. First of all, part one, the purpose of our weakness. Now, you may have wondered this many, many times. If you're a person walking on planet Earth, you have to have wondered about this many, many times. Why is it that we're constantly frustrated? We can't do everything we want to do. When we do want to do something, we don't find the power to do it. And the Apostle Paul himself reflected that weakness. And yet he found victory through Christ. You say, well, it's all meaningless. Life is just frustrating. I can't do the very thing that I intend to do, that I want to do. I can't stay in God's Word like I would like to. I cannot walk with the sinlessness that I desire to. You may feel frustrated because you can't be a good husband or wife or father or mother or child, for that matter. Life is full of frustrations, and it seems like just there must be something wrong. And guess what? There is. This is not really the way God intended it to first place. It's the way that it winds up because of our own selfish ways. Con, could you grab that light again, please? The purpose of our weakness. 2 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 9. Now, watch this scripture carefully. For to be sure, he was crucified in weakness, yet he lives by God's power. Likewise, notice that, likewise, Jesus was crucified in weakness, but he was raised in God's power. Likewise, we are weak in him, yet by God's power we will live in him, we will live with him to serve you. Notice the purpose of that power. When you work to serve others, God gives you resurrection power. Look again at the scripture. That's not my concept. We are glad whenever we are weak, but you are strong. And our prayer is for your perfection. We're glad when we are weak, but you are strong. When is the last time you felt glad regarding your own weakness and a brother or sister's strength? That's the Lord living in your heart, if you do. And notice it says, and our prayer is for your perfection. How often do we see that prayer realized? Have you prayed for a brother or sister? Have you seen them become perfect? Well, I don't know any that have become perfect, but yet you can see some that are on their way. And really, for all of us as real Christians, we are simply on our way. The day is coming when we will be as Christ, will be transformed in the twinkling of an eye. That day is coming for those who hope in him. Now, that word perfection can sometimes be misunderstood. He says, our prayers for your perfection. In the Greek, is really well translated in the term completion, for your completion. Now, let me focus on that for a second. What does it mean that Paul is praying for their completion? We are incomplete, each and every one of us, unless we live in Christ. To the extent that we live in Christ and serve him and serve one another, we are complete. Now, I would use the word perfect, but that has a different connotation. And I believe here that the intention is completeness rather than perfection as we often think of it. I am weak. My life is filled with weaknesses. On every turn, I am reminded of my weaknesses. And yet, at this very moment, I am complete. How is that possible? Because in our weaknesses, God finds the completion of his strength. That's how it works. You say, well, that's strange. I don't know. What, God's really glad because I'm weak? Well, no, he's glad because you're weak, and in your weakness you turn to him and he uses you to show his glory. That can be at work. That can be with your friends. It can be at home. It should be everywhere. The purpose of our weakness, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. But we have this treasure in jars of clay. What does that mean? It means something that is fragile. It means something that is weak. Something that's just here for a short time. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. So in other words, our weakness is there to demonstrate the power of God. The purpose of our weakness. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. What is that? The completion of his power is there in the times of our weakness, specifically in the times we recognize that weakness and turn to him. He said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made complete in weakness. Do you see that? You know, there's something about being a man that is just incomparable. There is something so wonderful about it, something God-given, something that has a special glory. It's great to have strength. Not just physical strength, but strength of character. The strength that God gives to a man. Okay, now, I hope that none of you women are about to leave here, because I'm getting to you. Just relax. But it is incomparable. It's wonderful to be a man. Now, just imagine, you men, if all that strength had nowhere to land, if you had no one to help, no one to encourage, no one to lift up, and no one to bless, what good would be that strength? Ah, but God made woman. The object of joy and admiration and respect to a man should be. A man should see woman as a creation of God made for the purpose of receiving a blessing. And a man should feel the desire to give great blessing to his wife. God made that as an example to us of his real intention. Now, the woman, on the other hand, is beyond compare. There is no other way that I don't know what it's like to be a woman. Don't have a clue sometimes. I'm sure I don't have even the remotest clue. But being a woman, as you can see it in God's design, is to be lifted up, is to be honored and respected and appreciated. That was God's design. And being the recipient of the protecting power of a man's nature, his physical strength, his spiritual strength, and being the object of his desire and the object of his protecting power must be absolutely incomparable. And really, as a church, as the bride of Christ, men and women, we are the object of that love and that strength in Christ. The church is the bride of Christ. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect or complete in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. Now, notice that phrase. He wants to boast of his weaknesses, not a common thing for men, so that Christ's power may rest on me. When it says rest on me, there in the Greek, the term means upon. The term means something akin to a tent being upon. That God's power may rest upon us as Christians. So you see, his weaknesses have the purpose of giving us the opportunity not to trust in ourselves, but to trust in Christ, whose power rests upon us. The purpose of our weakness, 2 Corinthians 12, verses 9 and 10. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. Now, let's pause right there for a moment. When is the last time you delighted in your weakness or in your insults or in hardships or in persecutions? In many ways, that's the hardest. When you're being persecuted for Christ, there seems a kind of righteous indignation. And yet, at that time, Jesus said, we are to jump for joy. Contrary to human reactions, but what Paul is mirroring here is that very thing. For Christ, I delight in persecutions and in difficulties. Have you had any difficulties today? I sure have. You know, from the time I got up this morning, there were a number of things that did not go as I expected them to go. And, you know, they can either be a cause of frustration, or they can be the object or end cause of receiving God's grace, realizing we are not in control, He is, and blessing Him, just giving thanks to Him for the fact that we have these weaknesses. I'm thankful that I am limited physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally, all those ways. I'm thankful for those limitations. I should really say I am learning to be thankful. I can't say I've arrived at that. But, in fact, you know, it's just something recently here happened that I had an attitude problem over something, and I lived with that thing for a day or two. And finally I said, Don, you have an attitude problem. And just being real about it, being honest with myself about it, made things different. Acknowledging my weakness instead of hiding it, as we're prone to do. Acknowledging it instead of denying it or disowning it. Puts me in a position where God's power rests upon me. Our weakness is an occasion for His power, but we have to be receptive to it. So that is why, for Christ's sake, Paul said, 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties, for when I am weak, then I am strong. And I forgot the ellipsis in one section there. You can see in the scripture that there's an ellipsis that belongs there. That is not the entirety of 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10. But it's made concise so that you can have a quick understanding of the overall focus. The purpose of our weakness is found in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. Not by power, not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord Almighty. So it's not by our might or our power, but by the Spirit of God that victory comes. What does that mean? Well, we don't entirely understand what it means because it says by the Spirit, and the Spirit is invisible, according to the Scripture. Don't see it. All we know is there are times when it is obvious that God's Spirit is at work. And that is most often when we are aware of our own inadequacies, our own weaknesses, our own sins, and we turn to Him. We must remember that victory in our lives comes by God's Spirit, not by our strength, not by our power or might. And in fact, if you're trying to do it that way, you will get exhausted. I promise you, it's designed that way. Not that you don't get exhausted doing things by the Spirit, but if you're doing things on your own fleshly power, your power, and you're trying to do what God wants you to do, you're going to get worn out in a hurry. And it is designed that way so that we will depend on His Spirit. The purpose of our weakness? Brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. And we can say that, you know, as a group. Not many. Well, really none of us. He then says, but God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. You see what he's doing there on a collective basis now this time, not just personally, but collectively. He makes it plain that the world's strength is nothing. That his wisdom, his power, his spirit, his love are everything. All of the head trips in this world are nothing. All, and by head trip there, I mean something that is ego boosting. You know, people are always on ego trips of one sort or another. And it's ironic that it's called an ego trip because that's where it winds up, tripping. It's a stumbling block. Ego is for all of us. And so we should be honest about it. We should recognize it and laugh at it because it's worthy of no honor. It's only worthy of laughter. So God chose the weak things of this world to shame the strong. People look at you as the church, as a Christian. They look at you and they say, you know what? Weak. Weak. Oh, that's pitiful. The world boasts in its strength. And it glories over the idea of putting down the religious. Those who need a religious crutch. You know, those who are so weak, they can't stand up for themselves. They have to lean on a church or have to lean on God. And they see no value or virtue in that at all. And in fact, it's worse. They account us, as Christians, as sheep for the slaughter. Why? Because of the meekness, because of the gentleness, because of the humility. The world scorns humility. I've seen it time and again. What a sad thing. Do you know the scripture says, be completely humble, speaking to Christians? Be completely humble. Is that a challenge? Well, no, not for me, you know. I excel in humility. I'm the best. The scripture says, be completely humble. If you're not challenged by anything else, you have to be challenged by that. So God chose the weak to shame the strong. These are people who have humility. Humility enough to know that they in and of themselves are nothing. It is only God that counts. It is the God who gives us rain, gives us the sunshine, brings the flowers and the trees, who gives us strength. It is not we ourselves, and we know that. Well, in part two of this message, I'm going to share with you the source of our power. It is not in man of himself to be strengthened. It's not in man of himself even to have life. It is in the power and the hand of God, and only by his grace. The source of our power. Isaiah 30, verse 15 says, in quietness and trust is your strength. Let's think about this for a moment. Now, many translations say, in quietness and confidence is your strength. King James and some others. This is aptly translated, in quietness and trust is your strength. Now, why do I say that? Because in quietness and confidence, it reminds us of self-confidence. It just does. In our language, in our idiom, it reminds us of self-confidence. But yet, the idea of confidence there is really better translated with the term trust here now in this culture. In other words, trust points to God. It's in our quietness and in our trusting Him is where our strength is. Okay, if you need strength, I'm going to take a moment to focus on this for just briefly. I find myself in need of strength a lot. And I find that times that I spend alone with God are the most important times. The most important times. And when I say alone with God, I don't mean some place where I stand alone with a bright shining light that talks to me. I mean just alone with Him, my Creator. And when I say alone, I mean this. Shutting out all the stuff in this world, all the things that we pour out in prayer, all the concerns of this life, just shutting it out. Giving praise and thanks to God. Being alone with God, free from the intrusions of the concerns of everyday life. And now, trusting Him. In quietness and trust is your strength. I like to do this when I know I'm not going to have any interruptions. I may turn the phone off and just make sure that the best I can, that there will be no interruptions. And think of my time alone with God. What precious moments those are. What strengthening moments those are. And as I place my trust in Him, I just say, God, it is not of me. It is of Your power, Your Spirit, intervening in my life, that things are changed. In that quietness and trust, there comes amazing insight. There comes amazing comfort. There comes a kind of integration. Best thing I can say is just believe what it says. In quietness and trust is your strength. That trust, of course, must be in God Himself. In Nehemiah 8:10, the Scripture says, "The joy of the Lord is your strength." Well, I thought it just said quietness and trust is where our strength was. Well, now it says the joy of the Lord is your strength. This must be a contradiction, do you think? Okay, that is stupid. Yes, it is. It's just telling us another means of God's way of imparting strength to us. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Let's take a closer look at this. People think, usually, that that means the joy of the Lord is your strength. In other words, God places His joy within you. And that is your strength. Well, that may certainly be, and I know that's true for me. But consider this. How about if the joy of the Lord is your strength? As you walk and desire to give Him joy, not seeking your own, but to give Him joy, the joy of the Lord, that is strength. I guarantee you that will bring strength. It's God's intention that we live for Him and He lives for us. He lived for us and died for us and rose again for us. And we live for Him and die for Him and we participate in the resurrection power. The source of our power, Philippians 4:13. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. Now, that's often translated, I can do all things through Him who gives me strength. And is that true? Well, yes. You know, you can do anything through God if we just trust in Him. Jesus taught us that. But is that the real meaning here? I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. Does that mean that I can do everything that I do through Him? I believe so. I can do everything that I do through Him who gives me strength. That is, through Christ. Every step I take, every thought I think, taken captive for Christ, every moment I live, I can give thanks to Him and should because He gave me this moment and the next and the next. And by His grace, that will continue throughout eternity. In fact, we come to a point where there is no more time and we are just with Him and with one another. I can do everything. When I get up in the morning and brush my teeth, I can do that for the Lord. and for the benefit of people in the congregation. Everything that I do, everything I think, can be for God's glory. Now, what happens to us most of the time, I believe, is this. You know, we walk along and about three-quarters of the time, maybe more, we're thinking, well, this is, you know, not really God time. I've got work to do, and I've got to, you know, tote the barge and what have you. And, you know, maybe that's the way you see your work, whatever you do, just a drudgery. And so that time is kind of separate, and then you have your time with God, time where you're consciously doing things the Lord wants you to do. Well, that is an immature understanding, perhaps just without complete knowledge, because God intends for us, while we're at work, to be thinking of Him, to be glorifying Him, and actually even serving our employer as we would the Lord. And in fact, we do serve the Lord that way. So, I can do everything through the Lord. The time when the kids are getting really fussy and difficult. Now, what can you do through the Lord or for the Lord at that moment? That can be a moment where you receive His strength and live for Him and give Him glory. Maybe nobody else knows about it, just Him. Maybe you know at that moment, without Him right now, I would be ready to just take and put this kid on eternal restriction. But then you back off and you say, my feelings will not dominate me. They will not have dominion over me. Those are only feelings. What does the Lord want me to do? What attitude does He want me to have? And the answer comes love. And you go, the kid is not listening to me. He's being selfish. What do you mean, love? Well, that's how God solved our problems. We can do everything through Christ who gives us strength. A good translation. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. So in other words, all phases, as they walk through their life, they will have supernatural energy and power. Isaiah 40, 31. That's a familiar passage to us, but and it really evokes a lot of beautiful images of how God's power works in our lives. But it points to the fact that God is the source of our power. If you think that's self-evident, well, do you live like it's self-evident? The source of our power, Romans 8:11. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, is He? If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, is He? Okay, good. A whisper. It was just a whisper, but I loved it. I think God sometimes just loves it when He hears just a whisper that said yes. The Spirit of God lives in us. Perhaps out of humility, we don't want to acknowledge it. What, I'm going to say I'm some spiritual giant? Or perhaps you're feeling guilty, and so you don't know if you can acknowledge it. Well, isn't that why He died, was so that we could be free from that burden? Isn't that why He was raised from the dead, so we could know that we're free from that burden? Isn't that true? Somebody whisper yes.
Yeah, true. Amen.
I think God likes it sometimes when people shout yes. Okay. And if the Spirit of Him who Jesus, or of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies. That's this stuff right here. He gives life to this mortal body through His Spirit who lives in me. And it is by His grace. And it is in spite of my weaknesses, in spite of my failings, in spite of my sins. Because He forgives them all.
Yes, He does.
Amen. You know, God has given us such an enormous gift. And churches are looking for gifts. You know, haven't you seen it? Yeah. Well, you come here and you can have this gift. You can have that gift. Hello. Sorry, I just flashed by a couple. If you can go back there to where I was. Thank you. I got so excited I grabbed the remote. Churches want you, they want to be able to impart gifts of this sort and that. What about the simple gift of outright forgiveness? Is there any greater gift? Well, if there is, I'd like to know what it is, because without forgiveness, we have nothing. We live this life and we're dead. And it's worse than that. The source of our power. Romans 8:11. He gives us life. In quick conclusion, the purpose of our weakness, we now know. We've heard it. We've heard it from God's Word. The source of our power, we now know. We've heard it from God's Word. Now, I want to take just a minute to see how the Lord turns our weaknesses into strength. We become the receptacle of His strength. A few quick scriptural examples. Moses had problems. Did he have problems? Yeah, God didn't allow him into the promised land. He had problems. Did he have weaknesses? Yeah, he had a problem with temper. But yet, God said Moses was the humblest man on the face of the earth. Gideon was a man who suffered from low self-esteem. He had a number of problems in that regard. And yet, did God use him? Was the power of God upon him? God even used his weakness. And God used Gideon to save his people, Israel, by the power of his hand through Gideon. At one point in the discourse, Gideon ordered his son to go and slay all of these men who had come against him. And then his son was afraid. But the men opposing him said, "Why don't you come yourself?" And in the past, perhaps, Gideon would have cowered. But do you know what he did? He did come forward and he wiped them out. God used his power through Gideon's weakness. Abraham, dearly loved by God, the father of the faith, to those who preceded us, great man of God. And twice, not once, but twice, he lied about who his wife was, said that she was his sister, to protect himself. Not good. God uses our weaknesses to bring his glory. And you know what? I don't want to be glorified for anything. I want the Lord to be glorified. I don't want us to be glorified. I want the Lord to be glorified. There's a difference. And as he shows his power through our weakness, that is done. Peter was an example. Peter was an impetuous person. He didn't follow through on his intentions very well. We know that. And yet, God used him powerfully in the initial institution, the beginning of his church. and used him mightily and does to this day. We read the writings at his hand through the Spirit of God, and we give praise to God. Well, the list could go on and on and on, and you probably know that. But I will resist the temptation and conclude with this. Hebrews 11:32-34. It would take too long to recount the stories of the faith of Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and all the prophets. Their weakness was turned to strength. You see, this is not my idea. God used these people, all of them, as an example of how their weaknesses were turned to strength, because God's power is shown in our weakness. Because the very things that we tend to despise, even as Christians, are opportunities for God's power. What a huge blessing to understand that. I want to remind you of this. It's a point that I made in my last message. Jesus not only gave his life for our sins, for us, and he did. He paid the ultimate price of his own death for us, our forgiveness. But he gave his life to us. When he gave his life for us, that was death, his death. He died in weakness, but then he gives his life to us. What does that mean? His Spirit living within us. His Spirit giving us vitality and life that's beyond the stuff of this world, that's on the inner person, that gives us a light in the midst of darkness. He gave us not only his death, but the rest of the gospel, his resurrection. The Scripture says he became a life-giving Spirit. What does that mean? Able to live within us, to be with us, to live our lives right alongside us. That's what he intended. Now, he didn't leave us with just the forgiveness of sins. He gave his life, continuing to live through us, so we then are part of the resurrection power. Just a quick recap, just a moment to remind you of some of the scriptures that we shared earlier. Our weakness and God's power. We have treasures and jars of clay, and it shows that the surpassing power belongs to God. Not by might nor by strength, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. In quietness and trust is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. I hope that this message this morning has awakened a confidence in God. I know many of you are suffering in your life. You have weaknesses, physical weaknesses, other kinds of weaknesses, and you're suffering. And I hope this message has encouraged you that your suffering is not evidence that God doesn't love you. It's evidence that He does. And He will use your weakness to bless you. Is that a sunset or a sunrise? Does anybody know? Sunrise? Anybody think it's a sunset? You know, he says it's coming up from the east. I didn't see a compass on that picture. Some people see that as a sunrise. Some people see it as a sunset. I'd like us to see it as a sunrise. I'd like you to remember the scripture in 2 Peter 1:19. It says, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. What is that referring to? The morning star. Day star, King James says. What's that referring to? Jesus. no question about it. I don't know any theologian in his right mind would argue that it's referring to Jesus. Until the day dawns and the morning star rises in our hearts, and day by day we see at first the glimmer of sunrise, and then as it goes on, we see it beginning to shine in our hearts, light shining in the dark. And we see God coming through, touching our lives, and being with us face to face and side by side. My prayer for you this morning is that the morning star will progressively rise in your hearts, that you will see that your weaknesses are a blessing. They're not a curse. God loves you. That hasn't changed. Let's share in a quick word of prayer. Father, we come before you this morning amazed at your word. We are astounded, Father, at the wisdom not only of mind, but of heart that you've shown to us. God, thank you for giving us victory, even in the midst of our weakness. Father, thank you for giving us the day star, the morning star. And we pray, Father, that as we continue to see the rays of the coming dawn, that we will rejoice and be invigorated more and more by your word. And we pray, Father, that the return of Jesus in all of his glory would be soon. We thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen.